Oops, I went back to the beginning. Didn't even do that. Go to that next slide. Were you slide 9? Y'all know I'm trying to use slides. I really don't need them. I'll repeat the first two verses of this book of Joshua chapter 1 with the idea of leaving the past behind, like this football player and like Clayton coming here. Came to pass after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now you're the man. You, therefore, arise, cross Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And I think what he wanted to say was, leave the past behind. You're not Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I will say that some memories in the past are positive. And I have a couple examples there. Back in Exodus 13:3, Moses said to the people, this is something that is supposed to remind them in the past of some things. Remember this day in which you were brought out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by powerful hand and the Lord has brought you up from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. It's during the, when he's talking about the Passover meal. But you understand that what he's saying is, don't forget the good things God has done for you. They're good to remember. They're good to remember. In Hebrews 13:7, another verse of things that are good to remember. This is good to remember. Remember, the writer of the Hebrews says to us, those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That's good memories. Good memories. Remember those. And I'm sure all of us have in our history, if we're believers for more than just a few years, we can look back and say, I remember a person who had a great impact on my spiritual growth. Taught me things about Jesus I needed to hear and about how I should respond. Those are good memories. Some memories are not so good, but they do remind us of, don't do that again. And let me just give a couple of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, Moses is teaching the people and he says, remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam when you came out of Egypt. Well, I don't know if you remember the story, Miriam and her brother Aaron spoke out against Moses and said, hey, where'd he get the fact? Did he get the idea that he's the only spokesperson here? People all listen to us too. I mean, you know, we're from the same family. We practically raised that guy. And they rose up against Moses, their brother. And you remember what God said, let me tell you what we're going to do, Miriam. And she had leprosy, had to leave the camp. She had to be quarantined for 14 days and had to have 2 negative tests to come back in. Yeah, that's what happened. And what Moses was saying, you need to remember that bad things you do have a consequence. Not bad to remember that. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said this in chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or effeminate or homosexuals or thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's what you were. It ain't bad to remember what you were. It's bad to live like what you were. But it's not bad to remember where you were when God picked you up out of the miry mud and set your feet on solid rock. It's not bad. Bad memory. Do you have bad memories of before you were a believer? Many of us do. Don't forget the past, but also don't rely on it as your major guide to the future. I'm sure if Joshua had thought about the past, he probably would have thought about that first time he came into the promised land. Y'all remember the story? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, and 2 were good. Can't do the sign. But anyway, you understand that these two guys, old Joshua and Caleb, the only one that came back and said, we can take that. And the other 10 spies, what did they say? Oh, it's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got everything we'll ever need. But They've got us outmanned. They've got us outtrained. They've got us outnumbered. They've got everything that we don't have. We can't whoop them. I've always wondered, why did God, well, he even directed Moses, why did God have Moses to send these spies in there? Why didn't he just say, don't worry about it, when you get there, we'll take care of it? Can I give you my feeling? He wanted them to know that they were right. They could not take that land. Could not. And so that when the land fell at their feet and the enemies crumbled before them, why did it happen? Because God made it happen. He wanted them to know that. Now it's been 40 years since this has happened. 40 years. Do you think those people in Canaan in the promised land had just been sitting there for that 40 years? Nobody. They had heard about what the Hebrews God had done back in Egypt, and they're getting ready for them. And they were ready for them. But they weren't ready for Jehovah God. They were not ready for Him. If you want to enjoy the blessings that God has for you, forget the past. That's in the past. What did Paul say? He says, not that I've already obtained it, become perfect, but I press so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself. This is from Philippians chapter 3. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching for what's ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize, the upward call of Jesus Christ. Knowing that the enemy is tougher than you, bigger than me, better trained than me, better weapons than I have. Everything about him is better than me. And Paul says that doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm marching on. Marching on. Why? Because God is going to give the land to me. He's promised it to me. Next one. Celebrate the blessings as you get them. Moses, my servant, is dead, God said. Cross the Jordan, take all the people. Then in verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands into the great sea, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. And I want to say, celebrate the blessings. Did they have reason to celebrate as they conquered the land? Sure they did. Sure they did. God, when they went to fight a battle and they see, wow, look what God can do with my life. If I will be obedient to God, look what He can do to my enemies. Can I do that to my... No, I can't do that to my enemies. But can God do it? You better believe He can do it. Does He want to do it? Yes, He wants to do it. He wants to defeat the enemies through us. That's what He wants. That's our ministry. And that was what was happening. Joshua, now listen, I know there's a philosophy that says let go and let God. Y'all heard that? Just be kind of docile and hang around and God will work through you. Well, I understand that. I do understand that message that we are not to get ahead of God. We are not to ramble out on our own. But there are certain things, like in Joshua's life, had he sat there on the river and said, let me know when the first enemies are dead, then we'll come in. He'd have still been sitting there. He wouldn't have made it. He would have died there on the other side of the Jordan River. But you know what he did when God said, go fight? He fought. He was a military guy. And he fought enemies. So that's what he had to do. Joshua and all the other Israelites, another thing about them, they had lived over 400 years as slaves and then another 40 or 42 years as wanderers. They had never owned a thing, no land. And when they got in there, they were going to own some land. He had to do what we would call a work of faith, if you don't mind that term. Had to believe God and act on it. God told him what to do. He had to do it. In Deuteronomy 1:8 said, Moses speaking to them, "See, I place the land before you. Go in, go in, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to them and their descendants forever." But they had to go and fight. And we'll see a little bit later what we're called to do. And in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ Himself, according to His kind intention of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on the beloved." What does that say? That says, yes, we're in a battle, but God gets the glory when we win. God gets the glory when we win the battle. Next, we see that receiving and enjoying God's blessing requires that act of faith. If you read the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, which we call the book of the chapter of faith, right? But all the things that are written there about the heroes of the faith were people who did something. They did something. They didn't just sit around and believe something. They got up off their rear ends and got in the battle for God. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice." He did something. Verse 11, verse 7, Noah built an ark. Verse 8, Abraham obeyed and took his brother, took his son as an offering. And so on and so on. James says it this way: "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself." What does that mean? That means faith by itself is dead. It requires, in order to receive the blessings that God wants to give to me, I have to obey Him and do what He said to do. Now, I'm not talking about becoming a Christian. I'm not talking about doing something to become a Christian. I'm talking about doing something because I am a believer and I am submitting to His leadership when I say, I'm going. I'm doing. I'm fighting in the battle. Do you ever wonder in the New Testament how often and why so often Paul talked about us as an army? An army. He said to Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, "Suffer hardships with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And if you remember, almost a half a chapter in Ephesians chapter 6 is devoted to armor. Why in the world does anybody need armor? Have you ever thought about why would you need armor? Can I tell you? You're in a war. You're in a war. And yes, we do win. Do we win battles? Yes. Does God bless us with victories? Yes. When you win a battle, is it over? No, it's not over. As a matter of fact, for these people who went across the river under Joshua's leadership, never completely obeyed God, and they did not drive out all the people who didn't believe in them, in Him. And because of that, they were plagued by that for their whole existence. But He's just saying, enjoy these victories that God gives you and recognize that it is not you. Recognize that you are not the winner, but God gives the victory. Next one, focus on God and not the people. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Receiving and enjoying God's blessing requires constant focus. Constant focus. I suppose maybe it would bring into memory, I mentioned this once before, out of Numbers chapters 13 and 14, when they went into the land to spy out the land, and they found out, "We went into the land, the reporters came back to say, and it does flow with milk and honey. Nevertheless, people who live in the land are strong. Cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, and they were a great people. Then Caleb quieted, this is Numbers 13, verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it. We'll surely overcome it. But the men that had gone up with him said, no, we can't. We're not strong enough. They're too strong. So the people then went against Moses and said, here you brought us out here to die on this side of the river. We wish we were back in Egypt. And I'm sure there are a lot of examples of things happening very similar to this. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, that's Peter walking on the water. And as long as he's had his eyes on Jesus, what could he do? Now maybe you do this. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and depended on him, how many people can walk on water? None. But Peter did. And how did he do that? He looked at Jesus and said, if you tell me to get off this boat and walk on the water, I'll do it. And Jesus said, well, come on. And he did. And then he got to looking around and he said, man can't walk on water. And started to go under and said to Jesus, save me. Paul wrote, or the psalmist wrote in Psalm 56, and this is kind of like fighting battle and focusing on God. In Psalm 56, the psalmist says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid what man can do to me. And the verse is quoted in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, but the important thing is to learn there that we need to focus on God and not the people that are causing, not people, not problems, not just not people. We need to focus on God and not what's surrounding us. Why? Because what's surrounding us, God is in complete control of. He is sovereign over that. And all we need to do is what Peter failed to do, which I would have failed too, is we take our eye off of the source, the only source of power that we have on this earth, and that's the Lord Jesus in our lives. And when we do that, we begin to fail. God is so gracious that he would say, stand up, get up on the water again. He'll reach out and save us. All right, I have just a couple more minutes and I'll finish this. Stay connected to God's word. Only be strong and courageous. Careful to do according to all I've taught you to do. Don't turn from the right or the left so that you may have success. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you will have success. Have I not commanded you twice already? Joshua, listen up. Listen up, Joshua, have I not commanded you already? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for I'm with you wherever you go. Can I tell you about the word strong? We think strong is like this. It's not exactly that word. If you look back in the book of Exodus and the life of Pharaoh, when Moses said to Pharaoh, I want you to let my people go. What was Pharaoh's response? No. And what does it say about his heart? What does it say about his heart? He hardened his heart. He hardened his... What does that mean? It means he was resolute. He said, you ain't changing my mind. I am not listening to facts. My mind's made up. I'm done listening to you. I've made up my mind. I'm resolute. Determined not to do it. That word, hardened, is this word, strong. This word. God says to Joshua, I want you to be absolutely resolute. Absolutely. Don't waver to the side. Don't listen to people when they say this won't work. Don't listen to people who say you shouldn't try that. Don't do that. Joshua, be strong. Be hardened, if you will. That's the word strong. Courageous. What does courageous mean? What do we think of courageous mean? Like a lion, right? Courageous. Well, it's about that. But also, it has to do with being alert. Being ready. Being on the lookout for what could come up that is bad. Will it come up bad? Yes. Yeah. Did bad things happen to the children of Israel when they marched into the promised land? Yes. People trying to kill them every day. And this word courageous, while it does mean courageous, it also carries with it this message of being alert and alive and looking out and protecting what you have. That's this word. Resolute in your heart, I'm doing the right thing. And always looking for things that could happen unexpectedly. Do things happen unexpectedly? Yeah. Yeah, a whole year's worth of unexpectedly. And the only way that Joshua could do what he did with these people with very little, if any military training, how could he do that? And God says, here's what I want you to do, Joshua. Pay attention to my word. Spend time in my word. Spend time with me. Find out what I want to say to you. You don't need to listen to the noise around you. Listen to me, Joshua. That's what he was saying. Don't let this word get far from you. And it requires discipline. It requires discipline. The Shema that was given to the Jews in Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your might. And these words, which I'm commanding to do, shall be on your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your sons. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house. You'll talk of them when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and bind them as a sign on your hand and on your forehead. What does that say? It says what you hear from God is the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life. That's what that means. That what God says is the most important thing we'll ever, ever hear in our lives. Don't get far from it. Stay connected with God's Word. And now we'll close. How to enjoy. Does God want to bless you in 2021? Does God want to bless me? Yes, He does. Does He want me to be miserable? And this with a long face and saying, woe is me. No, He doesn't want that. He wants me to be victorious. But He wants me to know that when the victory comes, it's Him that's given it. And how do I do that? Forget the past, as Paul said. Celebrate when God blesses me. Celebrate. Thank you, God, for blessing my life. Focus on God. Don't focus on people and problems. And stay in the Word. You know, I believe, might not work. Yeah, it would. I believe if we did that in 2021, we would enjoy the blessings of God. Do you? I believe that. Now, this is not evangelistic. I'm not saying to do this in order to be a believer. In order to be a believer in Jesus, all you need to do is trust that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins and receive that payment, and God forgives you. But if you want to be successful in the Christian life and enjoy the blessings God wants to give you, this is what we need to do, and God will bless us. He wants to. Do you want Him to? He wants to bless your life. Lord, bless our lives as we are obedient to You. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this lesson that You taught Joshua, that he was to be strong and courageous, his mind made up. Not strong as a warrior would be strong, but strong as a leader would be strong. To say, I know what I know, and I know it. That God gives the victory. And I'm not backing down from that. May we be the kind of church, the kind of people that live a life that exemplifies that belief. We know what we know, and we believe it. that we forget about the bad things in the past as they apply to today. We won't forget them, but we won't live on them. And we will celebrate as you bless our lives this year, as you bless our church this year, that we'll be a church that's focused on God as we use that to serve one another. And that we'll be connected to you through your word. Bless our church. Thank you for our pastor. Challenge him with what we need to hear through this year. And then use us to carry out the ministry that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.